Kauai farmer Don Heacock planted rice to feed the native birds some 5 years ago. He says that caught the eye of National Park Service officials with the Hanalei Heritage Wildlife Refuge. Heacock still has rice growing on his farm to keep the birds from his taro, but he also scaled a hurdle last year bringing in water buffalo, which was considered the workhorse during the reign of rice. We visited Heacock to check on his herd of 8 water buffalo just before the shutdown this year, and we checked in on his journey towards an integrated farm.
Back to the future, you have to realize that when Captain Cook arrived here, do you remember what year that was?
No.
1778. When he arrived here on Kauai, and this was a paper published by Sam Gaughan, Patrick Kirsch, and a few others 2 years ago, they documented that on Kauai, there were 38,000 acres of taro, like my fields that you'll see in a minute. They had food security. There were, in the whole state, there were estimated 1 million people, and they didn't import anything. Why is it we're importing 90% of our food right now?
Right.
Why?
So what's wrong with this picture?
What's wrong with this picture? We need to go back to the future. We need to restore the integrity of our watersheds. And the core should be the farming community in every one of those watersheds. There may be urban areas, of course, but right now we're being heavily impacted by the urbanization above us. Just this last flood, I picked up 2 5-gallon buckets full of golf balls. They're in my taro fields. Thank you, Puakea. That's the name of the golf course. And we have to realize that right now, the state of Hawaii, neither the state nor the counties have a comprehensive stormwater quality protection program like every other state west of the Mississippi has. So we're using our streams to dump all the stormwater runoff. We might have little detention basins that capture the 2-year average storm, but it doesn't capture the 50-year average. And they're doing this in Washington State, UC Davis. It was called Village Homes in Davis, California. They designed a whole subdivision that had zero runoff. Where does the runoff come from, Catherine? It comes from impervious surfaces, rooftops, driveways, roadways. They designed a whole community that had zero runoff.
So this idea of bringing back the water buffalo, I mean, they were here doing the rice paddies, but you brought them in for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, first of all, the swamp water buffalo that were brought here back in the 1890s, brought from China. Clifford Wong's grandfather was one of them in Punalu'u. He still has 2 swamp water buffalo bulls. They have 48 chromosomes. These are river water buffalo, not swamp. They're from India. They have 50 chromosomes. And the difference is that in India, because they're Hindu, they don't eat meat. So they selected for milk production and draft power for 5,000 years. These animals will get as big as the swamp water buffalo, if not bigger. But they produce a lot of milk. Not as much as a cow, but they produce more butter fat than a cow, like a Jersey or Guernsey. So what they will ultimately be, and what I submitted to the Western SARE program, was a proposal to look at water buffalo in an integrated farming system that would be multifunctional. They'll produce fertilizer, they'll plow and puddle the taro fields, they will log for us, they'll pull logs out of the forest, they'll pull a wagon of agro-tourists, people that visit the farm, so we can basically show them the part of the ahupua'a, the traditional ahupua'a that we've restored. We have Chief Pu'ali's house site here. We have, you know, these are the places. You're not looking at the valley right now. Nobody lived here. They lived down where the water was. And we're blessed with Pu'ali Stream and 3 springs. One spring puts out 500,000 gallons a day. So we have abundant water. And these are the places where everyone lived. So the demographics have changed. So these buffalo will be, they won't be farm animals. They'll be more like pets. Yeah. The milk, they'll produce 5,000 liters of milk a year, worth a minimum of $3 a liter. So do the math on that. That's per lactation. They live twice as long as a cow. They'll have twice as many calves as a cow, and they'll eat things that cows won't look at. So they're highly adapted to eating invasive stuff that's everywhere, including this guinea grass that you can see. We brought them into this overgrazed paddock this morning just so you could see them and wouldn't have to walk.
Thank you for that. Yeah. So the idea is that you'll use the water buffalo to work in the taro fields or get to inaccessible areas?
Well, you know, to pull a heavy log out of the forest, how do you do that? Well, typically what people would do is they go in with chainsaws and then they'd bring in their big bulldozer or heavy equipment. And you cause a lot of soil erosion. With a buffalo, all I need is an area 4 feet wide. You know, you look at well-trained draft animal, like some of the draft horses that they are trained for logging. They're looking over their shoulder, backing up in the forest to the log that they're gonna pull. They hook onto the log, they walk them out. The National Park Service in many places on the mainland will only allow logging by draft animals because they only leave footprints. Minimal damage, okay? And so we have to mix farming with conservation. I mean, I've been labeled an environmentalist. Any farmer that's not an environmentalist is not a farmer because the environment produces all the resources we need to grow food and fiber. We need both food and fiber. We know we import about $5.5 billion worth of food a year into the state of Hawaii. Imagine if we were growing that here. What can't we grow here, Catherine? There's nothing we can't grow here. Maybe with the exception of cranberries, although there is a native cranberry that grows in the Alakai Swamp.
So what else do you have growing here on your property besides taro?
Our economic drivers will be and are our water buffalo when we start milking. And we will sell herd shares. Because as many people know, we're one of the few states that will not allow the sale of raw milk. 43 states allow it, not Hawaii. So I won't sell raw milk. I'll sell herd shares. You could buy part of that buffalo. Now it's your milk. You pay me only to take care of her and to milk her for you. You come pick a gallon of milk up every Saturday morning, okay? And if you had 12 kids, you'd probably buy 4 gallons of milk a week and you'd buy 4 herd shares. So I'm getting on a tangent a little bit, but the other crops that we will be our economic drivers are our blue tilapia. We have a integrated aquaculture, agriculture, tilapia, taro system down here that's basically modeled after the ancient Hawaiian loko iakalo, which was a taro, you know, fish pond with taro in it. We've just separated the fish ponds from the taro, but all the effluent runs into all the fish effluent, which is nutrient rich, flows by gravity right into the taro fields. I don't really plow my fields anymore, but I need to fertilize them and they'll produce the fertilizer. When we start milking, when the calves are a little older and we start milking in the milking barn, all those manures will go straight into the taro field. You know, people freak out, especially the Department of Health, when you talk about using manures in farming. But with taro, you have to cook it in a pressure cooker it's okay, Ipo. Go on.
You want to be part of this interview?
Yeah, they're very inquisitive. Yeah. So taro, you've got to cook it for an hour and a half in a pressure cooker at 350 degrees before you can eat it. So what organism is gonna survive in that? None. Taro needs to be exempt from all this food safety nonsense. It's really nonsense. If you ate taro raw, you're gonna be in the emergency room anyway, okay? So we aside from the taro and the fish, we have 19 varieties of avocados, probably 200 or so. I haven't counted them. We're still grafting more. We have mangoes, we have Thai longan, probably 200 coconut trees. All of these things are basically what we're growing to a large degree in the original Ahupua system. But Hawaiians didn't have avocados. They didn't have mangoes. If they had them, they would have planted them. I have an old heirloom rice that Dr. Fukuoka grew. I got it originally from Chris Kobayashi in Hanalei. This is the rice that Dr. Fukuoka wrote the book, The One Straw Revolution, about. And I grow it just for the water birds, the alaiula, See, I make three kinds of profits. I make economic profits, but I make environmental profits. We have three species of water birds that are abundant here. They probably were on generation 86 by now, because they I can walk up to a mother Kalua duck with her nine ducklings as close as I am to you, and she won't fly away. Most people can't even get 50 feet to a Kalua duck and it'll fly away. So the animals become habituated to me because they know I'm not going to hurt them and there's plenty of food here. So that's the environmental profits I make. But I make social and cultural profits too when I bring school kids and even mature Hawaiian men that have never planted taro before, and they get in the taro field for the first time and literally feel their roots. It's a real grounding.
That was Don Heacock, a koi farmer who is intent on building his herd of water buffalo. He has looked to the rain of rice going back to the future. Since we visited his farm, Heacock has received a federal grant, and that's allowed him to buy his dairy equipment, and he is looking forward to a bright future integrating his farm.